Lucy Powell, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Why did Emily Thornby, why was she forced to resign?
Well, what Emily did, as she said herself this morning, was an insult not only to the people who live in that house, but to voters across the country. And that's absolutely unacceptable. And it's right that she resigned.
But why was it an insult? She tweeted a picture of somebody's house with a van outside it and with the English flag, several of the flags hanging from the house. She didn't put any comment. She didn't comment at all. Why is that unacceptable?
Well, I would be deeply angry if someone came down my road and took a picture of my house and put it on the internet, as would, I think, most of the people watching this programme. That is not an acceptable behaviour for a Member of Parliament who is in it.
Your house is on Google Maps all the time. Anybody can do that. I don't understand why it's unacceptable and forcing a resignation.
Because this was a by-election, she was out campaigning, and she put on the internet a picture of somebody's house, which left question marks over why she'd done that, what she was trying to say. That was deeply insulting, and she apologised and she's resigned, and that's the right thing to do. What was she trying to say? Well, I don't know, but I don't think it was acceptable, and you know, that's why she's resigned. And this by-election, you know, is not about that tweet. You know, there's some profound things happening in British politics right now.
Well, I'll come on to that in a minute.
You know, this was a you know, an incident later in the day yesterday.
But it was so bad that Ed Miliband forced her to resign. Correct?
She resigned herself. She on
but
reflection.
But he wanted her to resign.
She on reflection realised the seriousness of what she'd done.
Well, but he wanted her to resign. Correct?
Well, he was extremely cross about what she had done, and I think at first, you know, Emily hadn't quite realised the seriousness of what she had done. After speaking to Ed Miliband, she did, and that's why she offered her resignation.
Just how sorry is Emily Thornberry, though? Because this morning, after her resignation and through the night into the morning, a number of people tweeted her saying, "In my opinion, I think you did nothing wrong. It's all been taken out of context. What a storm in a teacup," someone else said. "What is the fuss about? Three England flags. So, has the world gone mad? Much love to Emily Thornberry tonight, victim of a febrile and stupid media climate." And I could go on and on. And Emily Thornberry, for each one of these tweets, favourited them. She mapped them as a favourites. Why would you do that if you were really sorry?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask her. But as far as I'm concerned, as an MP for Manchester and many other colleagues of mine, you know, this is unacceptable behaviour to insult voters, to insult people by tweeting pictures of their house, by whatever connotation you mean. That is not acceptable behaviour for a Member of Parliament to do while she's out campaigning in a by-election, and that's why it's right that she resigned.
I would suggest many people think that the reason why Mr. Miliband and his entourage went into such a meltdown was that it simply reinforced the widespread perception that the Miliband team are a bunch of North London metropolitan elitists who have lost touch with Labour's traditional working-class roots. And that's why he was reportedly apoplectic, because it was too close to the bone.
No, I fundamentally disagree with that. Look, you know, you can categorise me as being part of the Ed Miliband team. You know, I'm a born and bred feisty Mancunian, and there are many of us around Ed who are at the top of the Labour Party, who are members of the Labour Party, who are MPs, who represent and who live amongst and who are part of you know, the kind of traditional Labour base in this country. And you know, what Emily did was not acceptable. And what Ed is about trying to change the country so that the economy and the country works exactly for those people. What we've seen in this by-election, the patterns that we've seen over recent months and years, are that people are turning to UKIP and other parties because they are profoundly unhappy with the way this country is run. What they want is a politician and a party and people to come forward and say, how are we going to change this country so that it works for everyday people who are playing by the rules and getting on, and not an economy that works for the privileged few. And what our job is in the Labour Party over the coming months and weeks, and this is absolutely what Ed Miliband is all about, is defeating the politics of division and the politics of other, that to say that if we just withdraw from Europe, if we just got rid of the immigrants in this country, everything would be okay. That is not the politics politics that we stand for. What we stand for is a politics of optimism, of the future, of how these, of how
So why didn't it work in Rochester? Why didn't it work in Rochester? This was a seat that you held from 1997 till 2010. You got 28% of the vote in 2010. And yesterday you got 14% of the vote. Why?
Well, clearly we would have liked to have done better.
Why did you do so badly?
But I'm not as complacent as Michael Gove is, who simply wants to put these issues down to by-election. It was a terrible night for the Conservatives as well. They lost
a lot more of their votes than we did.
We did badly because, in part, because this is a by-election situation where you had the sitting MP defecting to another party. Obviously, he was going to do well, and you end up in many by-election situations with a two-horse race with other parties being squeezed. But by all accounts, you know, our campaign on the ground, led by Nashaba Khan, who was a fantastic candidate, who by independent commentators all said...
But you lost. You became a poor third. None of this matters. This is the kind of seat that you need to win if you want to form a majority government.
No, it's not,
and you didn't win
it. OK, it's not, actually. It's not on our target seat list. It's not in our 106 seats that we need to win to have a healthy majority. It's what I would call a landslide seat. It's the sort of seat that we would have only ever won in 97 or 2001 with a Labour landslide. I don't think anybody thinks
Well, you won it in 2005 as well. There wasn't a Labour landslide in 2005.
Not on these boundaries. On these boundaries...
The boundary changes are de minimis. They're very small, the boundary changes.
No, on the results of 2005, under these boundaries, we wouldn't have won this seat. Tony Blair wouldn't have won this seat in 2005. So let's just be clear about
that. Well, let's just put the boundary changes up, Lucy Parr. We've got a picture of the boundary changes. We'll just put them up. I'm not sure if you can see them, but our viewers can. Well, it shows the difference between the Medway constituency and the Rochester and Strood constituency today. There are changes, and there are changes that are favourable to the Conservatives. No question about that. But they're not major changes. Geographically, the constituency is not that different. And it was an important enough constituency for Gordon Brown to think he could win, because the first thing he did when he became Prime Minister was to take the train to Rochester and Strood and go to the Morrison supermarket and campaign there. He thought it was a seat he needed to win. Now you're saying Ed Miliband's party doesn't think it needs to win it.
You can look at any independent analysis of the boundaries you want, and under these boundaries that they are today, in 2005, we wouldn't have won this constituency. Tony Blair wouldn't have done it. Obviously, in 2010, when we have a sitting MP under new boundaries, you want to try and capitalise on the advantage of incumbency and try and win that seat. That's not the position that we're in today. That's why this seat has not, on our very ambitious 106 target list seat, it sits outside of that. I think it's 127 or so.
But I would suggest Lucy Powell, it's way down there now. It's been relegated down there because you don't do well in these kinds of seats anymore.
Not at all. We knocked on 50,000 doors. Nashaba Khan ran a fantastic campaign with her candidates. And I have to say, some of the report backs that I got from there, I think, was that the Tory party had no ground campaign at all. They didn't seem to take these things seriously, because we know that one of the ways to defeat this politics of division and this politics of the past that UKIP advocate is that not only do we have to be articulating some of the challenges the country faced and how we're going to change them nationally, you've also got to have these conversations on the ground as well. That's why I continue to go out in my own constituency every single week. This evening I'm doing a midnight surgery in North Manchester, where, you know, we have lots of disaffected voters, to show them that we're out on the high street, you know, on a Friday night as well. And that's why you have to bring these things together.
OK, Lucy Powell, thanks very much.